2 Timothy and the chapter 2. We'll commence our reading in the first verse of this chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let us hear God's word this morning, his inspired word. 2 Timothy 2 and the verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Amen. We know God will bless the reading of his word this morning. Let us still our hearts together in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come to consider God's word. So let us all pray together that the Lord would speak to us today. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank thee for answered prayer thus far. We thank thee, Lord, for even thy presence being with us in the meeting. We thank thee for the help that has been given thus far to even to sing thy praises, to Esther in testifying, even to myself in leading and reporting in college, and even to Mr. Stewart and giving the announcements. And Lord, we look to thee to come and to bring that special help even now as we come to a very important stage of the service, the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, even as I think of this solemn responsibility, I know and I feel within me the weakness, the inability, and Lord, just my entire need of thee. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that thou wouldst fill me to overflow with thy blessed Holy Ghost, that the words that I would speak would be thy own words, that it would go forth in thy blessing and in power and in liberty, that, Lord, that we would not leave this meeting until we know that there's been a change within us, a change of direction, a change of desire. Oh, God, we pray that thou'd even bring about the change of heart. Oh, Lord, we pray that, Lord, that thou wouldst even arrest the sinner this morning, that, Lord, they'd be brought to the saving knowledge of Christ. They would bow the knee in submission before thee and crown thee as their Lord and Savior. O God, come and bless us, we ask of thee. We need thee, O God. O Lord, visit us and provide and help in every need. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We know too well that we live in a world in which the Christian is under increasing pressure against the world. The world is putting pressure on the Christian increasingly to compromise and to be conformed to the world and to be unfaithful to God. It's very easy for the Christian, as we know, to become unfaithful, perhaps through weariness of seeing little fruit in the work of God. Maybe as a result, we become weary and perhaps say within ourselves, what's the point of going on whenever nothing is being accomplished. We can be unfaithful maybe when we drop our guard and allow subtle sinful influences to creep into our lives. We may perhaps even as well spend unprofitable time. We may be unfaithful in our time. We may perhaps maybe stay up late doing that which is unprofitable. And maybe desire to get up early the next morning to spend time with God. But because we spent up late doing that which is unprofitable, and the early hour approaches, we become tired and we desire to sleep on, and therefore give God the minimum amount of time that we can give in the morning, or perhaps none of time, no time at all, promising that we would do it later, which perhaps might even turn out to not even doing it at all. We can think of many areas in which we can be unfaithful to God. And I would like to think that the thought of our unfaithfulness and our foolishness would grieve our hearts this morning and long to be more faithful to God. And perhaps the question might rise within our hearts, how can we be more faithful to God? We might think that we need to perhaps spend more time with God, more time in His Word, more time to pray, get involved more, surrender more. Now, these are faithful things. Some of them would make us more faithful to God, but look with me in the first 13. And here Paul points to God, and he says that He, that is God, abideth faithful. Paul is saying that God is faithful, and He abides faithful. I believe in order to be faithful, we must behold the faithfulness of God. And whenever we behold the faithfulness of God, we will be more faithful to Him. And not only faith, but we will also grow in our love to God more and more. So I want us to take this verse 13 as our text this morning to consider this wonderful thought that God abideth faithful. God abideth faithful. I want us to consider firstly man's unfaithfulness. Let's read this text together. Verse 13 of 2 Timothy 2. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. The first 13, if we believe not. This belief does not refer to a saving belief. But what is really meant in that word is unfaithfulness, disbelief, doubt, betrayal of trust, which is essentially unfaithfulness. And as I've already indicated already, believers are under increasing pressure to be unfaithful and to compromise and to be conformed to the world. But whenever we consider the example of the Apostle Paul, he was faithful in his ministry. And it was his faithfulness that caused him also to suffer for his faithfulness. We read that in the verses 12 and 9. He suffered so much so, and particularly in verse 9, as if he was an evildoer. And whenever we take particularly what is said in the verses 11 and 12, we can see what it really means to be faithful. Whenever we do see what it means to be faithful, we can also see what it also means to be unfaithful. Look with me in the verse 11. Paul says, first of all, it is a faithful saying. And what is this faithful saying? For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Being dead with Him does not mean our decease. But if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and the verses 3 and 4, we can see clearly what Paul means about being dead. It really refers, of course, to our sinful man, our sinful nature, our sinful ways must be put to death. Colossians 3. And the verses 3 and 4, Paul says concerning the believer, for ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ, with Christ, in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. And when we die to self and put to death our sinful ways, our sinful lusts, and our besetting sins, we then truly live. We live with Christ, who is our life and who ought to be our life. We live in the enjoyment of God's peace and joy and fellowship with Him. But why is it that we suffer for being faithful to God? It is because we are at enmity with the world, with the devil, with sin, and with the natural man. And it is the devil's aim and desire to make our experience here on earth difficult. He'll put pressure on us to sin, to backslide. He'll put forward temptations. He will bring persecutors. But what wonderful promise is given in Revelation 3:20, where Christ says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." And though we may suffer, we can take comfort that just as Christ suffered, so we will suffer because we are identified with Christ. And the promise is given that we shall also reign with him. That is what is also mentioned in the verse 12 of 2 Timothy 2. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. That is the end of the faithful, that he will reign with Christ forever and forever. But also, in verse 12, the faithful will not deny Christ. We might think immediately of Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, where Christ says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Verse 33, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Whenever Christ uses that word confess, it means more than a confession with our lips, but has the sense that we live according to our confession of faith in Christ, that we live acknowledging God as our Savior and as our Lord. It is someone who actually surrenders to God, who gives up their sinful life in repentance and declares Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, and who lives genuinely in that fashion. And really, these words in Matthew 10 bring joy and comfort to the Christian, because the Lord Jesus Christ shall declare us who believe this morning. He shall confess, and he shall acknowledge us before the Father who is in heaven. Christ will declare to the Father that we are his, that we are his blood-bought possession, that we are those in whom he has purchased in Calvary. And so as we think about those verses, it deals with how we live and the fruits in which we produce. And the same applies to the one who denies Christ. He's one perhaps maybe that has made a profession of faith, maybe professes to be saved, but their life does not match with their profession to be Christ's. They do not persevere in holiness, in godliness, or in Christlikeness, but rather they are no different to the ungodly in how they live. The true believer perseveres in the spiritual life in this world and will arrive in glory at death to be with the Lord, who will confess us before the Father who is in heaven. The believer will persevere through the aid and through the power of the Holy Ghost to be sanctified and to be conformed after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say it's important to bear in mind that this verse does not deny eternal security, because whenever we're saved, we are kept by the power of God. But if a person professes to be saved, and there is no evidence, there is no fruits of holiness and godliness, and they do not persevere to that end, but lives rather in denial of God and his ways, he must not comfort himself in the thought of eternal security whenever he's not saved at all. And really what is implied here is a call of self-examination within ourselves, and to be sure that if we profess to be the Lord's today, that we walk worthy of the calling wherewith we were called upon by God to receive his so great salvation. I wonder this morning, dear believer, how is your walk with God? If you call yourself a Christian, are you persevering after righteousness? Or has the world and all it has offered coveted your heart? I wonder this morning, is there any desire in your heart to implement the teachings of God's word? Or do you deny Christ and his so great salvation? I want to say how tragic it is that in the final judgment, that if you have attended this church, or whether you watch in online on a daily basis, how tragic it would be after hearing the exhortations to repent and believe the gospel, to be faithful to the gospel call and command, yet to continually refuse it and to deny Christ and to deny his blessed gospel in your heart. Perhaps this morning you might say the right things. You may even deceive me and even the people of God by how you appear and by what you say. But I want you to know this morning, that God will not be mocked and he will not be fooled, because he knows our hearts. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. He sees our hearts. He knows our hearts, and he knows those who are his. And if you live a life denying Christ to the day of your death, you will live throughout all eternity with the denial of God. Those terrifying words of God's denial are found in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works?" Verse 23 of Matthew 7. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Well, you might say that you attended this church, that you gave your tithes, that you agreed with everything that was preached in this church. You might even be able to say that you've even felt the presence of God in this meeting. I want to say, it doesn't matter what you will say to God, or what you might claim, or what you have experienced in this life, because whenever you die without Christ, it is too late. And you live with an unforgivable mistake in denying the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You did not submit to his gospel command. And while God will know everything about you, who you are, and all that you've done, he will not know you as his own, as one of his own. He says there, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." How serious it is to deny Christ. It will mean that you'll be denied of God forever. And so I say at this stage of the meeting, do not continue to deny Christ. Do not leave this meeting and say no once again to the gospel call that exhorts you this morning to repent and believe the gospel. We read in Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, I trust and pray and urge you this morning that you will make your profession of Christ, that you will call upon him while he is near. And as we think of that thought of persevering in righteousness, just to come back to 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, Paul says in that verse, 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake." And that word endure also means to persevere. And Paul is really saying there that in the midst of trials and sufferings and persecutions, he endures and he perseveres through them. Why? For the elect's sake. Really, for the glory of God, because he desires that they would be saved. He goes through trouble in the faith that God has died for a people and those whom God has died for will be saved. He endures these things, that the lost would be won. Such was his burden for the lost. He was willing to endure the sufferings and the persecutions, that the elect would be won. And I want to say, this is also faithfulness, to persevere against the world's pressures, and to follow on in what God requires, and to desire that the lost would be saved, and to do what we can in the service of God. Paul was faithful. And as we think about all these different things, and we lift up the mirror of Scripture, we might see within ourselves our own unfaithfulness. Perhaps we're weak in our prayer lives. Maybe we're weak in God's Word, where we're just reading God's Word and we're not feeding upon God's Word. Perhaps we're unfaithful even in our service for God. It might be barren and dry, and we're doing the work unfaithfully and really doing it because we have to do it, rather than the attitude in that we get to do it. We may be unfaithful in the meetings here, maybe missing out in the prayer meetings or in certain Sunday services. And I think it's very alarming today to find that there is little attendance in the gospel services, the most important service, the service in which we should really anticipate and look forward to, especially to see what God can do and to hear what God has done for us that believe. I believe the Christian needs to hear the gospel just as much as the sinner does. I know so many Christians, and they're filled with doubts and lack of assurance. And really what they need to hear is the gospel of what Christ has done, and to be assured that Christ has for sin atonement made. Perhaps as well, we may be unfaithful in our homes. Maybe children are not honoring their parents. Or maybe the parents are not honoring their children by maybe neglecting the family devotions. Maybe the husbands and the wives are not honoring each other or loving each other or being faithful to each other as the Scriptures commands us. We may be unfaithful to the saved without a care for their soul, leaving them to go on in their Christless state, leaving them to go continue and to perish forever into a lost eternity, into hell. I trust and pray we pray for those opportunities, and that we would pray that the Lord would help us. But I want to say, with all of these things, we know too well that we can never, in this side of eternity, live perfectly faithful to God. But the question is this morning, do we strive? Do we strive to be faithful to God? Do we persevere for holiness and for godliness and for Christ-likeness? Unfaithfulness is our weakness in our spiritual life here on earth. And we are prone to wander. We're prone to sin. We're prone to failure. I know there's days in which we're no different to the tide that comes in and out. There's days we're red hot and fire for God and faithful for God. But then there's days in which we're cold and we're unfaithful and we're careless. And this leads us on, secondly, to God's faithfulness. And while we may change, and while we may vary in regards to our faithfulness, perhaps knowing more of what it is to be unfaithful than to be faithful to God, yet the Christian has his hope and trust in one who cannot change, who abideth faithful, according to our text. He continues to be faithful. He remains faithful. You know the first word in that verse, verse 13, that word "if." I know we could pass by that very quickly, but if you look what that really means, it can also mean whether. We could literally read the verse as this: whether we believe or not, or whether we are unfaithful, yet he abideth faithful. Is this not just a wonderful thought, an encouraging thought, a blessed thought, that while we are tending to be unfaithful, God abideth faithful. He remains faithful. He continues to be faithful. We can look to ourselves. We can look at our faithlessness and our unfaithfulness and our tendencies and our failures. And we can look to others, our close friends and our families, and how they could be unfaithful to us. But yet our hope and trust is in one who is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He that abideth faithful, continues to be faithful, and remains faithful. Thank God the Christian has this God who abideth faithful. He is a faithful God. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." His word is faithful. Psalm 119 verse 138, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." He is faithful in calling us unto himself in salvation. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." He faithfully strengthens us to overcome temptations and restrains the power of temptations. In 1 Corinthians 10, 13. "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." The Lord also faithfully keeps us. 2 Thessalonians 3 in the verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." He is faithful in his pardon. In 1 John 1 verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Then one final one. He is called faithful in Revelation 19:11, where the Apostle John says these words, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Dear brethren and sisters in Christ, behold the faithfulness of God. He has called us, believer, out of our sinfulness. He was faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And praise God, he is still faithful and just. His word is faithful and has been faithfully preserved throughout the ages from the attacks of the devil and man. The Lord is faithful, who keeps us as his sheep, and he is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Can I repeat those words which we sung this morning? "Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All that I've needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Those words are based in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, where the prophet Jeremiah says these words, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." These are the words of the prophet Jeremiah. He is the prophet in this time who laments over the fall of Jerusalem, and God's people are taken captive by those of the Babylonians. And out of Jeremiah's despair and out of his lamentation, and he sees many of God's people die as a result of these Babylonians, and some being taken into captivity. Yet he beholds in the midst of this, in the darkness of this, the mercy and the faithfulness of God. In the fact that some were spared, and some would even be spared to return to their homeland again after the captivity. He is in the dark night of captivity, lamenting in despair, but he looks ahead to the morning, where the psalmist says in Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." God is faithful. I wonder this morning, can we all testify of God's faithfulness to us? I know Esther has testified of that already. Many of us also can. Has God not been gracious and faithful to us? Maybe perhaps in our most darkest of times, and even in the most troublesome of times, where it looked as if the faithfulness of God was failed for a moment, and we were in the darkness and despair, we would have been like Jeremiah and be found in a place of despair and lamentation. But yet the faithfulness of God burst forth in a glorious new morning, where our hearts were made to joy and glory in the God who abideth faithful, who proved himself to be faithful to us, who never left us in the trouble. He never left us in the hopes that I hope everything works out at the end. No, he was faithfully with us. He was faithfully with us, and through it all, he was with us. He gave us grace to endure it. He faithfully worked within us that we may be fashioned like Christ. And as we think of him, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was faithful. He was faithful in his earthly ministry. He obeyed the Father's will. He endured humiliation by coming in the likeness of sinful flesh. He endured temptation. He endured betrayal. He endured the cross. He endured the contradiction, the disobedience, and the strife of sinners, according to Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. And he endured the wrath of God for us to accomplish an eternal redemption to the whosoever will believe. This he did that he may be faithful, just, right, and fair to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then finally with me, look and see God's unchangeableness. In the last part of our text in verse 13, we read that he cannot deny himself. We've been comforted and blessed with the thought that God is faithful. And we could expound on that much further. But in that last part of the text, we have something extra, something that adds to the comfort and in the blessedness of the faithfulness of God. It is in the thought that he cannot deny himself. In other words, he cannot act entirely unlike himself. He cannot prove himself false. He cannot contradict himself, and he cannot lie. What does this mean? It means he is faithful. It means he is true. It means he is trustworthy. And what he has said in his word he will do, he will do it. If the sinner comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and calls upon him for salvation, the Lord will save him because he said he would. If he says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, he is faithful. He is just to do so, and he is right to do so. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done, God abideth faithful, and he will not change or turn back on what he has said just because of you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change because he doesn't need to change, and he cannot change because he is perfect. And he is faithful. Those words in our text, he cannot deny himself, are even stronger in the original, because it implies not only that God cannot deny himself, but rather it is impossible for him to deny himself, that he is incapable, unable, and powerless to deny himself. God is faithful. It is impossible for him to be unfaithful. Thank God we have a God who is faithful. He abides faithful, even whenever we are unfaithful. And in salvation, he has given to us his righteousness, that on the day of judgment, God will confess us, as we've already considered in Matthew 10. And he will also say of us that believe in Matthew 25, 21, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Those are comforting words, but I want to say they're challenging words. Challenging words even to myself. Because I wonder this morning as I read that, am I a good and faithful servant? Are we all good and faithful servants? Let us labor, therefore, to be good and faithful servants, to be faithful over many things, and to labor until God says to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let us be holy as he is holy, and let us be faithful as God is faithful. May God write and apply these words to our hearts this morning. Let us close our meeting in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee this morning for thy presence. We thank thee, Lord, for even just that wonderful and humbling thought that thou art faithful and that thou abideth faithful, thou remaineth faithful. O God, we know too well how we are prone to change and prone in times to be faithful to thee, in times we're unfaithful to thee. But Lord, we fall upon thee and cry unto thee that thou wouldst help mine unbelief. Help us to increase in faith. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to look ever to Christ who abideth faithful. O God, we thank thee for all of thy faithfulness to us. How, Lord, thou hast richly blessed us through thy great faithfulness. O God, we pray that we would ever remember, even in the darkest of times, give us the grace to be able to say that in the midst of it all, thou art faithful. Thou hast left us. Thou hast forsaken us, left us to be alone. But Lord, just for a moment thou hast veiled thy faithfulness from our sight. But yet all the while thou hast abided faithful. Grant us help throughout the rest of this day to keep this day holy and consecrated unto thee. Bless the people of God. Do them good. Help them all to grow in their most holy faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.